You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. This is the day MDOT kicks off its reconstruction and rebuilding of I-75. It will mean years, and I do mean years, of orange barrels for the up to 174,000 drivers who take I-75 between 8 Mile and M-59. As road projects go, this one is a whopper. $1.3 billion, 18 miles of highway, and 14 years. MDOT's Rob Morosi is here with us now. I saw a quote from you, Rob, saying, "No more Band-Aids, folks."
Yeah, that one got quite a bit of play, and it's true. You were taking a freeway that was primarily built in the 1960s, has never been rebuilt. It's had some resurfacings and some maintenance work put into it, but has never been rebuilt. It just comes a time when a roadway needs to be replaced, and well, we've reached that time.
What are drivers on I-75 going to encounter on this day one?
The primary focus is southbound. Around M-59, they'll encounter a left lane closure, and that is to get traffic into two lanes before it gets down by the Square Lake Road interchange. Now, the ramp from eastbound Square Lake to southbound 75, that's a two-lane ramp. We have that down to one lane. Primarily this year, the focus will be on the northbound rebuilding, and we're going to shift traffic in September from the northbound over to the southbound side, both directions sharing the southbound lanes, two lanes open in each direction. Stay that way till about mid-December. Then for the winter months, everything will return to normal.
When all is said and done, let's look out 14 years, almost hard to believe, down the road, mm-hmm. 2030. What will I-75 have that it does not have now?
It will have an HOV lane in each direction that will be operated during peak travel times. Primarily, you will have a more modern I-75. You'll have an I-75 that is now built to handle 21st century traffic, to handle the vehicles made in the 21st century. When this freeway was built, again, we didn't have the type of average daily traffic numbers that we have now. Cars were different. They just weren't as fast, and they weren't as efficient as they are today. Now, that might seem odd to people, but when you're looking at the geometrics of a freeway, and I don't want to throw MDOT terms out there, but there's no real way to explain it. You know, when you're talking about hills, when you're talking about curves in the roadway, there has to be modern designs for vehicles traveling at 70 miles per hour.
Rob, there are critics who say that adding that fourth lane each way, adding more lanes, is going to actually lead to more traffic and more congestion and ultimately more sprawl. What do you say?
I don't know about that. I don't have that crystal ball, but this is what I do know, that this section of I-75 has one of the highest crash rates that we have in the metropolitan Detroit area. It has a higher crash rate than a four-lane I-696. It has a higher crash rate than a four-lane I-96. I don't have that crystal ball. I can't tell you that it will lead to more traffic and more congestion. But when you look at the accident figures, most of the accidents occur in dry conditions. Most of these accidents are rear-end collisions, which shows you this is not about slipping and sliding in ice or snow, and really constitutes a problem with congestion. Will it lead to more congestion? We'll just have to wait and see. Again, I'm not going to make a prediction on that. But I do know when we're talking about the safety aspects of a newer freeway, when we're talking about the safety aspects of replacing 47 bridges along the corridor, we need a 21st century transportation system in Southeast Michigan, one that provides options for users. And the final thing I'll say on this, 90% of what we're investing is replacing what exists today.
What of the critics who say, look, make some changes, make it safer, but why spend $1 billion and really pull out the stops, and why can't some of that money go to public transportation?
80% of the cost of this is covered by the Federal Highway Administration. We have a very important vote coming up in Southeast Michigan in November. We do support RTA. We do support options for all users, but we also have to keep in mind that what we're looking at here is a freeway that carries over $20 billion worth of commerce a year. I think we have over 20,000 businesses, over 330,000 employees 3 miles east and west of I-75. options are incredibly important. Would some people prefer transit over driving a personal vehicle? I'm sure they would, and that's what this vote in November is about. But we can't take away the fact that 90% of the cost of this is replacing what exists today. So we need a 21st century transportation system, one that accommodates and provides options for all users.
Rob Morosi is with the Michigan Department of Transportation, kicking off day one of the big, big project for the next 14 years, reconstruction and rebuilding of I-75. Rob, thanks so much.
My pleasure. You have a wonderful day.
And now, here's another take on the I-75 project as we welcome Nick Schreck. He's an associate clinical professor at the Wayne State University Law School, and he directs the Transnational Environmental Law Clinic. Nick, MDOT says overhauling this 18 miles of I-75, replacing bridges, widening it, adding that high-occupancy vehicle lane, all of that is needed to bring the freeway into the 21st century. What are your thoughts?
Well, I do think that there are some design issues and safety issues that need to be addressed. The highway has been in its current form for many decades, and so it does need to be modernized. The issue that I and other people have raised with this highway is the expansion, adding lanes of traffic in either direction. And there's a real question of whether or not that additional road capacity is needed.
Now, MDOT seems to be pointing toward that extra fourth lane as being reserved for occupants of, high occupancy vehicle lanes.
Yeah, and that is an encouraging step forward. This isn't something that we've had in Michigan. And so the idea, we see these in other parts of the country where maybe during rush hour or at all times there's those high occupancy vehicle lanes where you have to have more than one person in the car. And that's good. It encourages carpooling, and we think that's a positive step. But again, adding these extra lanes of highways where we've had difficulty, as I'm sure the listeners know, maintaining the roads that we have. And so unless there is really a demonstrated need for those extra miles of concrete to add extra capacity to the highways, it's just something that we don't think is a wise investment.
And so if you could design a project that, in your view, would make I-75 safer and also lower those rising maintenance costs that the state points to, what would that look like?
Keeping with the current footprint of the highway without adding the extra lanes, that would be the preferred scenario, although we're not going to be there. So I think, this project along I-75, it's happening. For the next 14 years, in fact, this project will be under construction in multiple phases. Really looking forward, what we're trying to do is continue to push MDOT, to push our planners to think about the smartest ways to develop these highways for the future. And oftentimes that means not investing so much in expanding highways, but in maintenance, making sure that they're up to the most modern design standards in the existing footprint, and then looking at things like transit. In a lot of areas of the country, we figured that the way to really plan for the future is not always thinking about bigger highways and longer highways. It's making sure that we have a transit plan in place where people can move on rapid bus transit or they can move on trains. And so having, that type of planning is really something that needs to be, integral to what MDOT's thinking is moving forward. So with this I-75 project, it is a good thing that we will have these high-occupancy vehicle lanes. But again, I think that good comes with the bad of adding extra highway capacity that really isn't needed.
There have been voices, for example, the group Transportation Riders United, asking why not channel some of that $1 billion being spent on all of this work on I-75 into public transportation. Then you have others like Carmine Palumbo of the Southeast Michigan Council of Government saying, hey, we shouldn't be making this either or, pitting road improvements against public transit. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it does need to be both. We need to have good public transit, and we also need to have good, reliable, safe roads and bridges and all of that. I don't think anyone would argue with that proposition. But the fact is that in Southeast Michigan, our transit funding has been woefully inadequate, and the planning has been woefully inadequate. And so, one of the things we're seeing now with the Regional Transit Authority, which, by the way, there will be a ballot initiative on the ballot in November to seek funding for this Regional Transit Initiative. And that's really important because we can invest in, thinking about ways to connect people from not just major urban centers, but major work centers to get people from home to work or from school to home, and doing that in a way that is the most cost effective from a regional perspective. We have all of these different little transit networks, but they don't necessarily think together and connect together. And so we really need to have a real investment in transit. Transit has been left behind in Southeast Michigan, and I don't think that's a surprise to anyone. We consistently rank near the very bottom for transit for metro regions of our size. So we really need to invest in transit, and I think it's time for transit to get its due, frankly. We've been building these highways over and over again in Southeast Michigan, and now it's time to make sure that we really do have an integrated approach.
Is there any thought in your mind that this project and all the slowdowns and challenges drivers, as they go through Oakland County on I-75, are going to start experiencing today, could this, in your view, have any possible impact on that November millage vote?
Well, I hope that it raises awareness. You know, lots of times people think, you know, when you get in your car, you want to get from point A to point B as quickly and safely as possible, right? That's what everybody wants. But I would hope that as people are sitting there, when there's the lane shift in effect, or when they're closing down lanes, that they think about, okay, why are we doing this? What's the point? You know, is there a better way, a smarter way to move goods and move people around our region? And so I think it's an opportunity for learning and for people to think about how we make these investments and whether or not it's a smart decision. And I will say that there's some trends that are really moving towards the direction of transit. A lot of millennials, a lot of younger people like to be in walkable communities, in communities where they don't necessarily have to own a car to get from point A to point B. And so I think we're starting to see that planning creep in. But at least from my perspective, it's a little bit slow here in Michigan, and we need to really, really focus on transit and all these different modes of transportation to get people around, and not just focus on highways and on building these really, really big, massive highways, which has been sort of our main focus in Michigan over the past 50 years.
Nick Schreck is director of the Transnational Environmental Law Clinic and associate clinical professor at the law school at Wayne State University. Nick, it was great talking with you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you for having me.